You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today are Dr. Melissa Colgan-Ablin. She is with the music department, and she's no stranger to KTUP, as she's been with us before, helping us out during past fund drives and also talking about events in the music department. And special guest Mary Kerr. We're here to talk about a special event that Melissa has sponsored many times and brought in, and it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And so thank you very much for being with us here today. Let's start with you, Melissa. Tell us a little bit about the Flute Fest, because this has been around for a while, right?
It has. This is the Southwest Flute Fest, which is the legacy of the UTEP Flute Fest of years past, because we now have an El Paso Flute Club and many former students and other professionals who live in the area, and certainly are flutists, either as teachers or performers. We get together on a weekend, and we do all things that we love to do as flutists, which is teach, perform, look at new flutes, and be together with our birds of a feather. So we start tonight for an adult flute choir reading session, and then all day Saturday for every level of flutist, from the beginning through middle school, through high school, adult college, and anybody else who wants to play the flute, loves to play the flute. And we're very excited this year to have our sponsors, Olivas Music Company, bring flutes and flute music and flute paraphernalia, and also John Pleasant, a very masterful repairman on site, to look at flutes and that anybody might have to for repairs. He can make suggestions for repairs. And we're very indebted to our sponsors for their help in making this happen. But what we're really excited about is our performer, guest artist, Mary Kerr.
And Mary Kerr, from what you told me, is very close to El Paso.
Absolutely. She graduated from El Paso High School, and she was a UTEP junior scholar, and then she got a very sizable scholarship to go on to University of Southern California, and she's kept going since then, and she'll tell you more about that.
And we're very fortunate to have Mary with us here today, and Mary is going to be the guest artist on Saturday night, and so we want to thank Mary for joining us. And Mary is, first of all, congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
Making El Paso proud, and tell me a little bit about the flutes and how you got started, because sometimes people don't see the flute as being an instrument that really does much unless you're in a symphony. But the flute has a long history.
Yes, it's arguably the oldest instrument other than percussion instruments. But how I got started, I started when I was 11 years old. I was just entering middle school, and we had to pick an elective, and I chose band because my brother was in band. And my mom came home one day with a flute, and it was my third grade teacher's flute. And she said, well, this is good. We don't have to pay a rental fee on this. So that's kind of how I got started playing. And I remember we had a chair test the first couple of weeks of school, and I was able to hold a note for four beats, and that was a big accomplishment for me. And before that, I had had piano experience, so I already knew how to read music, and I've always loved music. So since then, it's just, I've loved it ever since, and I kept
going. But you
know
what you said, you were able to hold a note for four beats. People will say, well, anybody can do that, but people don't realize how hard it is to blow into a flute. I mean, you have to have just a perfect embouchure, and it just has to sound perfect. And you were able to do that at a very young age.
Well, I think part of what happens with the flute is that it's not like the clarinet or the oboe where the air is going directly into the instrument. It's at a horizontal angle. Uh-huh. So half of the air goes in and half of it goes out. So a lot of people get lightheaded or dizzy when they first play it. And so as you keep going with it, you learn how to regulate your air and so on and so forth. But yeah, I was able to hold four beats, and that was, at the time, I was very excited. So
Now, as far as once you got older and you started liking different genres of music, and of course in the 60s and 70s, you started hearing flutes in
yes.
rock and roll music and pop music. And so were you excited about that?
Yeah. I think my dad was excited to play his stuff of Jethro Tull and things like that for me. But yeah, I used to do a lot of, well, let's see if I can figure. Before I really started playing music, I would just figure things out from the radio or things that I was listening to. But yeah, I guess the flute was a prominent voice in the 60s and 70s in rock music. Maybe not so much anymore in popular music.
But as you mentioned, as far as, you know, Civil War, the Revolution, you know, when they said the drum and fife, they meant a flute, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what is the difference between how the flute has changed, Melissa, over the years as far as being used as a musical instrument? Because as Mary said, you know, it was used in some rock and pop songs, and now it's featured a lot more. Of course, it has been featured in classical pieces, but you hear it a lot more as a solo instrument.
Absolutely. It has a long and storied history. Of course, the first flute was probably a hollowed-out bone with holes in it. And it is basically a pipe with holes and stopped up in one end and then another hole that you blow across. And that's how it makes it sound. But the evolution of the flute was adding keys one by one through the 17th, the 18th, the 19th century into what we have in our metal flute today. Of course, earlier flutes were made of wood. And so it has grown in almost every genre, certainly ethnic genres for tribal music, because a flute is ubiquitous across the globe to every culture. And then, of course, in Western music, as the progression of music got in serious art music got more and more complicated, the flute was part of that history as well. So you can play flute with rock music, you can play flute with church music, you can play flute with symphonic music, and we're just excited to be part of music making. And so that's I get excited, and I'm sure Mary does too, about talking about the flute. It just
And go ahead.
Well, it became a solo instrument with Jean-Pierre Rampolla in the early 20th century. He really put it on the map as a rock star instrument. And then Ian Anderson did that for the the pop music genre as well.
And as you mentioned, of course, the flute has been very good to Mary. And because Mary is very good on the flutes, it has opened up a lot of doors for her. And Mary, tell us about your experience and how that opened up the doors and you ended up in New York.
Well, when I graduated from high school, I went to USC and I studied with Jim Walker, who's one of the greatest teachers and pedagogues out there today. I was very fortunate to study with him for 4 years. Then from there, I moved to New York, and I went to Manhattan School of Music to get my master's. I studied with Linda Chessis, who was actually a student of Jean-Pierre Rampal. And then after that, I went and studied at Stony Brook University, and my current and sort of former teacher right now, Carol Winsence, who's one of the premier flute soloists, a very important figure, not just in flute, but in the world of women in music, I think. She's amazing, and that's my lineage. And from there, I've just been taking auditions and winning competitions and having a lot of great experiences. So
now people don't realize, or perhaps they do, now they talk about the economy and how tough it is getting a job. But if you're an artist, whether it be music, recording artist, any type of artist, it's harder to break into that. And as you mentioned, auditions, people don't realize that these actors they watch on television in the movies, they're auditioning all the time for different parts. Now, tell us about yourself and the fact that you came back to El Paso, and you mentioned that you were in Houston last week. Are you on tour currently?
No, I'm not on tour. I was in Houston last week to visit my grandmother. But,
okay. But you probably played for her.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely. But I'm here specifically for the Flute Festival, and my parents happen to live here, so it's a place to stay, and I love coming back here. It's home for me. But yeah, it's always nice to perform in your hometown and do all these cool things.
And how difficult is it as far as, like you said, auditioning? You have to constantly be reading the papers as far as who's auditioning, who's not auditioning, et cetera, and you have to be on the ball all the time.
I think the hardest part about auditioning for things is sort of the emotional fortitude. It's really difficult. You know, you have 100 to 200 people auditioning for one spot in an orchestra. And they give you a list, and you have to learn all of the list, and they pick out certain things. And every orchestra is different, so you can have the best audition of your life, but you might not fit in to what they're looking for. So it's really difficult in that way, and it's sort of, you never know what's going to happen. You can have really bad auditions and win the job. That's usually what happens with most people, from what I've heard. So, but yes, auditioning is really hard, but at the same time, you have to sort of keep in mind why you're doing it. And you're not, we're not musicians for the money, let's be real.
We love it.
But we love it, and that's why we do it. And we want to preserve this history of classical music and modern music that we have.
Well, this is going to be a great opportunity for you to present your talents and also to, you know, let El Paso see one of their own. And, mm-hmm. and especially because, as Melissa mentioned, there are flutists of all ages out
yes.
there. And sometimes you have these tiny little girls or little boys who can barely blow a note. And then you have some who are a little bit better. But just being able to hear one of their own and an instrument that they love is just incredible.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add that Mary's coming to El Paso helps show what the current state of the arts or the level of performance is in her generation. She's miles away from 30 years old, and yet she's already made the finals of the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra second flute auditions, as well as the principal audition. And she has had her Carnegie Hall debut as a result of a competition first prize in New York. And these are very prestigious awards and career achievements for her to have gotten by her tender age, in my opinion. And I want her to be seen by the next generation that's going to come up. And we have some very talented flutists since I've been here. I've seen so much talent. They need to see what it is currently and where they can project and how hard they will see that their road ahead will be of them, as it has been for Mary. It's not easy for anyone. It takes years. But Mary has had that fortitude to keep going, being absolutely persistent in achieving career goals.
And I would imagine, and I don't mean to sound sexist in any way, but in this town especially, because of the culture, very protective of, mm-hmm. of the daughters, and me too. Mm-hmm. However, this is going to be a good opportunity for you to show people also that you have to take those risks. You have to take those
yes,
chances, and you
definitely.
Have to leave. Not saying that El Paso is a bad place, because you can come mm-hmm. back like you have, but sometimes you have to leave for a little bit and to improve.
Well, that's true. You have to see what other people are doing and experience other areas of this country, because sometimes it shocks you. You're like, wow. I can't believe they can do that. I can't even imagine doing what they can do with this instrument. But I was lucky enough to have amazing parents who really have just told me to go for it, basically. And I think that's sort of what it takes. I mean, it's very scary, but you have to have a good support system. And you have to believe in yourself to a certain extent. And it isn't easy, but you do it because you love it. And if you work hard and persevere, you will end up receiving what you're rewarded. So,
well, Melissa, tell us a little bit about tonight and tomorrow.
Tonight, I hope to be joined by El Paso flute teachers and advanced high school students, and my UTEP students are required to be there. And we will start looking at the flute choir material that we will perform tomorrow. And one of those is an accompaniment to a solo that Mary will perform, Gluck's Minuet and Dance of the Blessed Spirits. Now, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. sharp, on-site registration will begin, and Olivas Music will have their exhibits already set up. So once a person goes through registration, they can go right to see some exhibits. Then the first convocation, everybody together at 9 a.m. for a grand welcome. And then the clinics for elementary, intermediate, and advanced students and players begin at 9:15. We go all the way to lunch. Mary will give a master class at 11, and then lunchtime from noon to 12:45, and then more clinics, which I'm excited about, and then at 2 o'clock, flute choir rehearsals, and then 3:30, most important, is Mary's recital, which is free to those who would just like to come hear the recital. Now, if you want to be a participant, it's $10 or $15 with lunch included. We prefer cash because that just streamlines everything and gets everybody on their way. And we just hope that it'll be a wonderful day, wonderful experience, and loads of flute players. More the merrier.
And one more thing I forgot to ask you, Mary. Do you have any music available that people can purchase or get anywhere?
Well, I don't have any that you can actually purchase, but I do have a SoundCloud. My username is Mary V. Kerr, and it has clips of things that I've played, past recitals, etc. So if anyone's interested, you can definitely go to my SoundCloud. Again, that's Mary V. Kerr, K-E-R-R. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Mary Kerr and Dr. Melissa Colgan-Abelin. And this is the Southwest Flute Fest, which starts tonight at 6 to 8 p.m. And then, again, if you need additional information, you can call 747-7798. And you can also go to Facebook, El Paso Flute Club. Thank you for being with us. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Swoon. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.